We have visitors here from India, Africa, China, different places. And just for a few minutes this morning, I'd like to just get the microphone to a couple of people out there in the audience. These are just popcorn, you know, like a statement, you know, one sentence that I can tell you what to say if you want. We are so glad you are here to be with us. And let's start with Pastor Anil from India. Would you like to say something, Pastor?
It's good to be here, and this is the time to get recharged. So the battery came down for a year. So looking forward to the fellowship and to be refreshed in the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Beautiful. Pastor Bryant from Bangalore, India, and his daughter Jillian is here, sitting next to him. And you know what's amazing? This church listens to the Baltimore services. So right now, what time is it in Bangalore, India?
It's 9 p.m.
9 p.m. So you listen to the early service?
Yeah. And okay. Then they listen to the second service also.
Yeah.
Yeah, but today was interesting because when they shut down the...
Internet.
Internet and Pastor said they can have coffee. They thought we were serving coffee and burgers in the church. You know, they said take a break for 10 minutes. They're wondering what was going on. So it was interesting. But it's good to be here. Many years ago, when in Bible school, when the Pastor Shala used to visit, he would say at the convention, write it down in your calendar that you need to be here next year. I thought he would say, write it down where the money was going to come from. But I think if we pray in our hearts by faith, then God makes the impossible possible. Pastor Toll came, visited us. This year, and he said it is not difficult, but it is impossible. And God doesn't want to do the things that are difficult. God wants to do things in our lives that are impossible. So looking forward to an amazing conference. We've been praying for it, and it's going to be an awesome time. Every year it gets better and better. Amen. Thank you.
We're so thankful you're here. That's so good. How about Aya right here from Finland?
Do I have to stand up or sit down?
Well, I'll stand up. I just want to say, I was thinking in 1978, 125 Finns came to convention. In, where was it, Great Barrington or someplace?
Yeah.
And that's when I was here. I mean, I was with the body for the first time. Except that Pastor Stevens came to Finland in December 1975, and I was there too. So I'm just saying, this is like, honestly, I would never miss this thing. If it cost me $1,500 to come here, I don't care, you know. So if it costs you $60, please come, you know. And... And
wow, that was,
I mean, what
that
can
was
we say?
Convincing, wasn't it? That was good.
I want to say also, because I lived in Baltimore also, what, 11 years, and I was organizing. That was the time when there was no internet plane tickets. And many of you went to conventions, and I mean, a Eurocon and places, and I was helping with the tickets and the passports and the visas. And I remember one American... I said, do you know you need a visa to Hungary? They said, but I have a visa. It's good for every country in the world, you know. Anyway, I was helping a lot of you, and I love being here, and this is my home, and this is where I'm actually from spiritually, and it's amazing to be here. And anyway, that's all. Take the mic away.
Let's see. How about one more? How about Pastor Fuad, who's over here? Just... Pastor Fuad from Baku.
Hello, everyone. We love you. We're happy to be here. I bring warmest greetings and love from your family in Baku, Greater Grace. We're doing good, by God's grace, moving forward, and as well watching you over internet. Pastor Schaller, thank you for the messages, really awesome messages, and the unity here and the presence of the Lord just ministers, I know, to you and through internet to us. You know, we listen to Pastor Schaller's messages with the staff every Tuesday, and then also on Friday with the leadership, we listen to your messages, and we appreciate it highly. So, yeah, we just finished Bible college semester with 3 graduates. They were very happy, excited, and had a great conference in Georgia, Tbilisi. So now looking forward for this time, you know. We're happy to be back home and enjoy your fellowship, your love. And we're here to love you, you know, to minister to you. Yeah. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's great. Wow. Well, hey, how about one more? How about Julie Armin from Malawi, Africa, right down the middle there? And then is the Rodriguez, Martin, and Katie, are they here? Yeah, okay. Whether she's bringing the microphone, you don't have to say anything, but just would you stand for a second? This couple is on the team in Argentina with Pastor Stan. It's Martin and Katie. And they have 3 children, and they live in Argentina, and they're with Pastor Stan, and they came up to the convention, and then they flew, after a couple of weeks, they fly to Tacoma, where Katie is from. And years ago, you were here, right? Katie Fortin, and in the church there in Tacoma, and on the mission field in Argentina, and it's just amazing blessing that you guys are here. We love you, and God bless you. Okay. Yeah.
Good morning.
Okay, Julie lives in Malawi,
hello?
Africa.
Okay.
With her father-in-law and mother-in-law that are sitting right over
where
here.
Okay.
George and Carol Armin.
So
isn't
I'm there with my husband.
There we go.
And my 3 children. We've been in Malawi for about 6 years now, and we are so blessed to be able to come back here every year. We've had a busy year. We had a great year also with Bible College, a lot of graduates. We had our Southern African Conference, and what a great privilege to have all the Zambian South Africans and Zimbabweans visiting us for the first time in Malawi. We ordained 2 pastors, and you will hear more about it. I'm sure you've heard also a bit about it, but I'm so, I'm just, you know, a homeschool mom, a missionary wife, and I just love the plan of God for our life. And I'm so, even though I'm not from here, I'm from the church in France originally, God has placed me here, and it's such a privilege to see all of you. Thank you.
Wow. Amazing. Wow. Did you hear what she said? I'm a homeschool mom and a missionary wife. And I almost collapsed from exhaustion just listening to that. I'm a homeschool mom and a missionary wife, and a very good one, and a great blessing to Pastor Chris and the church there. That's, all these are great portions. Turn with me now to a couple different places. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And, make the effort. You can buy a mission, a pass for convention for $60. You go to every session if you want, every workshop, every event, everything going on in this room. It'll be a great time, Grace Sauer. There's a golf tournament on Monday, and the missionaries that just spoke, I got a free ticket for you to go to that lunch and to be with us, so that'll work out on Monday. You know, if I say I'm not going to buy a pass, but I'll just be down at the tent, because there's going to be the extension of this, the satellite, ministry of this will be happening down there, and anybody can go there and attend it. But if you buy a pass, then you don't have to wrestle with the whole idea, should I be down there or in the room? Should I go on Thursday or not? You know, can I sneak into the workshop or however that goes? But just buy a pass and go to everything you can. It's a great way of living. Just buy a pass and go to it if you can. And if you can't, come anyway and be down at the tent and be around. But it is many portions. Look at chapter 12, and we have the list of gifts. And verse 11, all these work that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, that the body is the fullness of Christ. The body is a mystery. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, the body of Christ, members one of another, organically growing and increasing and connected to every other part. At one time, compared an automobile with a horse. Here's an automobile. The windshield wiper goes like this. Here's an horse, and the eye of the horse closes and opens, right? Blinks. What's the difference between the eye of the horse and the windshield wiper of the car? What's the difference between the machine and the animal? All right, so turn to your neighbor and ask them. Person sitting next to you. What's the difference? All right, here it is. Here's the windshield wiper of the car, okay, and the back tire. Is there any connection between the windshield wiper of the car and the back tire? Mechanically, they are part of the same machine. But with a horse, here's the eye, and here's the back leg. Is there a connection? If there's an infection in the eye, it affects the whole animal, the back leg, right? If you hit the back leg of the horse, it might shut its eye and open its eye, turn around, and be angry with you. An organization is one thing. And in Christianity, there is organization. But there's no mystery in the organization. But in the body of Christ, there's a mystery. There is an organism. There is life. When life works in you, I can also partake of that life because we are connected with India, Africa, Argentina, Malawi, Africa. We are connected in the body, for Christ is one, and we, the body, are one in Christ. This oneness is spiritual, and when we gather together to listen to the scripture being taught to our hearts are moved by the reality, the fellowship of the Spirit. We are drinking the same Spirit, thinking the same thoughts, being taught by the same God, being protected by God, loved by God, encouraged by God, and growing in God. God knows us, and He sees us. So there is the first point, the body of Christ. I think it is amazing that around the world we are connected with sisters and brothers from many different denominations and many different organizations. So an organization is one thing, but we are more than an organization. We have the life of Christ, the Spirit of God, the love of God, the mind of God. So now turn to Luke chapter 10 for our message this morning. Luke 10. Verse 38. Thank you for your prayers and your love, for your faith, your heart attitude towards God, your walk with God. Pastor Shabelli is up in Massachusetts preaching this morning. I think 150 people went out knocking on doors yesterday up there in Marlboro, with Pastor Bailey and the Saugus or Peabody group, and God is moving and working. And we are here this week and next week to hear the fresh testimonies of what God is doing. One of the things that speaks to our hearts is how much God knows you. God knows you beyond your words. He goes into the counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Jesus is able to go into the deep water of our soul. I remember when it occurred to me that nobody really knows me. I might have been in fifth or sixth grade. And I realized in school, nobody really knows me. I have friends. I have a teacher. Then walking home from school, I realized maybe my mom doesn't even know me. My mom does. Even my mom, she's the closest person to me. But she may not know me either. And then I grew up a little more and I realized I don't even know myself. I don't know myself. That's Jeremiah 17:9. The heart of man is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't even know ourselves. But when Jesus came into the world, he was able to like go beyond, like he could look at you. He could know what you were thinking. This is in Luke chapter 7. When Simon the Pharisee received him into his house, and in a way we could say the Pharisee is there standing like this, arms crossed, kind of judging Jesus. And he's there with an attitude. And Jesus and a woman followed Jesus into the house, and she brought the alabaster box of ointment. She brought her tears, her devotion, and her love, and she's washing his feet with her tears. And the Pharisees standing there looking at him and her with a bad attitude. Jesus said to him in that story, he said, "Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment." He knew this man. He saw, and he was able to speak way down there in the heart. This is what has changed my life. And this is what changes your life. It's when we get beyond the surface of human living and Christ, God, knows you and he cares about you and he speaks to you by the Holy Spirit. This is what gives us joy. I talked to a brother here from Baltimore two days ago. And he works to get kids out of gangs in Baltimore City. And he said, these young guys, they get into a gang, and it's hard to get out. And he said, one brother, he got saved. He was in a gang, and he was trying to get out of it. They were threatening him. And he went to one guy, and he kind of gave it to him. And he felt that if I could get tough with this one guy, I can get out. So he did. He went at him. The guy got scared, and he went and murdered the brother. This interests me because I believe this happens everywhere. People get into groups and they're in maybe a religion or they're in a group, and it's very hard to know where am I, who am I with, how could I get out of it, how can I get detached, how can I be delivered. I know that's a tragic story. But he also said, I've gotten about 200 guys out of gangs. And one of them here is a dear brother. Maybe he's here right now this morning. But he said, the only way I got out was because the guy that was on my case, there were two of them, and they wouldn't let me get out. One of them got killed, and the other one went to jail for life. And I got out. And he's a servant of God today. What a story. You know, we all have our things that we cannot get free from. We have our own sin nature. We have our own fears. We have our own problems. We may have relationships with people, and you might say, I cannot get out. And we are saying to you, yes, there's somebody that knows you very deeply, and he loves you, and he cares for you. And in this story, in Luke chapter 10, I want you to read this because this will tell you what is the best and the greatest thing for you and I in our lives. Because when Jesus starts talking to you, then you got such a life, such a new way, such a new opportunity. When Jesus starts speaking to you, when God starts speaking to you from this book, when the Holy Spirit starts ministering to you in this church or anyone like it, where the Spirit of God has anointed us so that we can speak heart to heart, deep counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, and a man of understanding, Christ, will draw it out. That will change us. I think in that Pharisee story, Pharisee's standing there like this with an attitude. He doesn't get anything. He doesn't know who Jesus is. He doesn't know who this woman is. He's blinded by his pride. And be careful of that, because pride blinds me. And I mean me. I mean me. Pride blinds me. I don't get it right. I don't see it in the right way. Pride in my theology, pride in my practice, pride in my Bible knowledge, pride in my relationships, pride in what I think about myself. All kinds of pride. Pastor Stevens taught us, I think there was 28 different kinds of pride. Even the humble guy is proud about his humility. You know, he's there like, look, he's looking very humble. He's very quiet and so on. He can be very proud. He doesn't talk. He's very quiet. He's withdrawn. He's inherently selfish. He's very proud, but he looks humble. But he's not humble. That's not humility. To look humble is not humility. And that is not humility is obedience to God, whether I like it or not. Humility is hearing from God and having an attitude. It's about you and not about me. It's about your plan and what you are doing and not about me and my desires. It's about you and your glory and what you are doing. And when I get in tune with what you are doing, I find myself free with a lot of joy, a lot of freedom, and a lot of love, and I just am free as a person. And that Jesus has set us free. That's what's happened to you. Okay, let's go to the story now. Luke 10, 38. By the way, happy Father's Day. Did we say that already? Okay, happy Father's Day. That's enough of that. Let's move on. No, seriously, congratulations to all the dads. You need what we're talking about today. You and I need what we're talking about. And there's free coffee for the dads. It's out in the hallway. And that's for you. And actually, any of the ladies that want to join in, go ahead. We are not an organization as much as we are an organism. Is that good? Like a lady could say, I'd like to have a cup of coffee. No, you cannot. Not until Mother's Day next year. Then you can have. No, help yourself. Enjoy it. We love you. God is real. Okay? Go now to the text. It's taken a long time to get there. Luke 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Praise the Lord for all the Marthas. Man, there are many of them, and they are awesome. They received Jesus into her house. Wow. A great, great thing to do is have Jesus in the house. I remember, wait a minute. This reminds me of a joke. You want to hear it? Okay. There's a little girl, and it was dark. It was a dark apartment. And the mother said to the little girl, get the broom. It's outside on the out on the patio there. Get the broom for me. And the little girl said, it's dark. And the mother said, what did you say? She said, Mom, it's dark outside. I don't want to go out and get the broom. And the mother said, well, Jesus is out there. You can go out there. Jesus is out there. So the little girl opened the door and said, Jesus, could you hand me the broom? Okay, listen. Martha received Christ into her house. Great decision. And I think when we receive missionaries, it's a great decision. when we receive each other. And by the way, the word hospitality, I like this idea. Hospitality, when you have hospitality, you are receiving people into your space. And I can be on the sidewalk, not in my house. I can be on the sidewalk and I receive somebody, a stranger, I receive them into my space. And I say, you are welcome in my heart and my attitude. You are welcome. You are a person that is to be respected and somehow honored as a human being and be loved because God loves you. This is a good way of thinking about it. Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Sometimes when we sit at Jesus' feet and we hear his word, we want to hear more of it. We want to hear it again. We want to hear more of it. It seems to increase. Like, I got this part. Tell me this part. Or I got that. Okay, what about... And I hear it's like building. It says in Mark 4:24, take heed what you hear, for it will be given to you according to how you measure out. So like if I think it's nothing to listen to, then it won't much, not much will be measured out to me or given to me. In other words, it happens, the Holy Spirit opens your heart. Lydia, it said God opened your heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying in Acts 16:14. It happens in Bible college, you start to read it and think about it and it starts to move in your spirit and you just say, I want to hear a little more about that. Clarify that for me, or let me hear it again, or that is so encouraging to me. I got to hear it again. And then I'm ready to hear that again. And for some of us, like Aya said, she's been listening since 1975 and would say it is worth all the money that I need to pay in order to come and be part of it because Mary sat and heard Jesus' word. Because my mother might not know me, but God knows me and speaks to me and helps me and says things. It says in Luke 4:32, no man has spoken like this. He is speaking gracious words. I don't hear a lot of love. Sometimes at the cashier at the store, I say, have you heard a good word today? And usually people, almost always, they say no. The lifeguard at the swimming pool where I swim, have you heard a good word today? No, I haven't. Do you have a message? Do you remember that German, young German man, 19 years old, flew his plane to Moscow and landed his plane in the Red Square? You remember that story? That really happened. And he had the attention of the whole world. This kid from Germany flew a small plane under the Soviet radar into Moscow and landed in Red Square. And the press, you know, it took a while for people to realize what he had done. And then they were waiting to hear his message. What is your message? The whole world is listening. What is this man? Why did he do it? What does he want to say to us? And you know what? He had no message. He had no message. I guess he was somehow mentally sick. He had nothing to say. He just did it. He had no message. And Pastor Mati mentioned that one time in one of his messages, and I was also just amazed by the fact that you could have the whole world waiting to listen to you. And what are you going to say? Pass the ketchup, please. that when Christ is speaking, look at Luke chapter 10 in verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Well, this is part of the story, not the part I was looking at right now, but let's speak about it. We'll go to the other point in a minute. I have a lot to do. My iPhone is vibrating. I have to answer it. Really? My favorite TV show is on. I have to watch it. Really? My phone is ringing. Many things I have to do. I have to go here and I have to go there. Priorities, decisions, sacrifice maybe, giving up something, because the woman sitting there, Mary, is receiving something that is life-changing. She's hearing God's word, and it's going into her identity. And she's realizing that God is loving me and caring for me. I also think that things that are happening inside the heart, like it happened to many of our young men through the years, many of them that are here in the room that are representing this great work of grace, when they're sitting in an auditorium like this and God in their heart is starting to say to them, I want to use you. And you say, like, you want to use him. Or her, or you're talking to him or her, the good people, the famous people, or the important people, and God is saying, no, I'm speaking to you. I want to use you. I'm speaking to you. You are mine. You are valuable. My Holy Spirit dwells in you. You are useful. I have ordained you. I ordained you in the sense of being fruitful. I have crowned you with my honor. I have words to put in your spirit, and they will not leave you. They are yours forever. But Martha is kind of busy in life like all of us are, and we kind of get caught up with these things, and they become priorities. I am terrible at this, by the way. How much things can eclipse with the important thing that I have to pay attention to. And somehow being determined in my heart, I have to prioritize. I have to shut down all the noise and get quiet before God and listen to what he has to say to me. I might play messages from the past and re-listen and hear them, not my own. Actually, I can't hear myself preaching. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. Sometimes, if it's a very good message, maybe. But generally, I don't listen to myself. And it doesn't matter. I believe that what God is saying to us is something that can be heard again and again. And something that has a new twist or turn to it. Something that refreshes me and brings back to my memory the things that are most important and valuable in life. But Martha doesn't see that importance. She's serving and busy, and she doesn't understand it. So Jesus says this to her, verse 41. Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. Yes, Lord, I am. I'm troubled about many things. Distracted, one translation says, distracted by many things. Get all your trouble, here's a little tip. I have anxiety, put my anxiety here. I will worry at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I don't have time to worry about it now. I take my anxiety and I put it in my clock, my calendar. This, I will worry between 2 o'clock and 2:20, 2:30, 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock tomorrow. Not in the morning and not at night. But out in the middle of the day, I'll schedule a time when I can worry about something. And usually as I do that, I forget about the calendar and I never worry at 2 o'clock after all anyway. Worry and anxiety, the troubled life, isolating the strife and the trouble that happens on the inside. Here's one other point. Jesus is a king and a priest, and so are you in Revelation 1:6. You are a king. What is a king? A king has authority outside. He says, the new boundaries are from that building to that building. He's a king. You send the army over the hill. He's a king. That is illegal in my empire. It's not allowed. He's a king. He's on the outside. The priest is on the inside. My fear. The priest takes care of my guilt. The priest teaches me on the inside. Mary is receiving on the inside. Mary is being built up on the inside so that she could be an effective administrator on the outside. You can be a king, but that gets all muddled with our sin nature, and we make bad decisions. So what we need is the priestly ministry of Christ on the inside. So I don't operate out of guilt or out of fear. I'm not living in worry or ignorance, but instead enlightenment and peace and understanding. Martha, Martha, you are like a king and you need a priest. You need to listen to what it is that I am saying that goes on the inside. Because if you're healthy on the inside, then you'll be a good person on the outside. If you're healthy on the inside, then you'll be effective on the outside. If you get your house in order on the inside, you have peace and love so that you can serve and minister to others. Washing feet. Our King washes feet without guilt, without some kind of entitlement complex. He washes feet. So verse 41, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Buy a convention pass for $60. It's a good deal. And be it everything you possibly can be at. One thing is needful. Go to the church on a regular basis. Somebody asked one of our people, what do you do in your spare time? They say, I go to the church. Oh, you're a church person. Well, not really. Why do you go to church? Well, what do you mean? You go every week? Oh, no, I go 3-4 times a week. Actually, sometimes I go every day. Oh, you're kidding me. What is over there at the church? Well, it's hard for me to explain. I've made it a priority. It has changed my life. I got out of the gang. Actually, that's gone. I'm not bothered by those people anymore. I'm actually free. Actually, there's an impartation into my life and spirit, and I've found the love of God in my life. Well, what else do? I go home. I eat in my house. My dog is happier because I go to the church. The plants are growing better. The house roof doesn't leak anymore. We fixed it. I got more energy. I got a better attitude. I've got a word in season. And if I happen to fly my Pepper Cub airplane into Moscow and they said, what's your message? I would say, Christ is alive. I have a message. Christ is alive. What is your message to your neighbor? What is your message to the people at work? I got to get one. And it's only from God who can go to that deep part in your heart where you say in your heart, and we want to say this these next few weeks with all our hearts, I wish every group of people in Vietnam would have a church, something like this one. I wish every people group in the mountains of Laos, in Cambodia, in the big cities in India and China, in the mountains of Kyrgyzstan and in Uzbekistan, I wish in every desert village in Turkmenistan and Iran, they would have a church where people could sit down at the feet of Jesus and receive his word. And look at what Jesus said, and it will not be taken away from you. Wow. I studied biology in college. A lot of that's been taken away from me. Time has passed. I can't remember meiosis and mitosis. Only cirrhosis. Many words I cannot remember, the theories and the technologies and all of that I cannot remember. But I went to Bible college more than 40 years ago, and these verses come back to my mind and back to my mind and come back to my heart. What God is giving you in this church and anyone like it where the Holy Spirit is speaking, that he will not take it away from you. It'll be yours not only tomorrow, but forever, not just tomorrow, but 1,000,000,000,000 years from today. These same words will be resonating in our spirit, for it is God that has spoken to us and gone to that deep place where nobody can really go and find out who we really are. But God knows you, and he loves you, and he speaks to you. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, every Sunday I'm here in the morning. Every Sunday we as believers in the evening, we are coming. Even some are saying, I'm going to get radical. I'm even going on a Wednesday night. I'm going to miss my favorite game show, Double Jeopardy, Wednesday night. I'm going to miss, I mean, that's dated. Netflix, I'm going to miss Netflix Wednesday night and go to church. I'm going to receive. I'm going to read my Bible in the morning and a little bit of it at night, maybe. In the afternoon, maybe in my car. I'm going to store it away. I'm going to listen quietly, little by little. Jesus will minister to me and guide me. I'm going to even obey it. I'm going to hear it and believe it and obey it and walk by faith in it. And God is going to get a hold of me. And I'm going to have the fire of God in my life by his grace, quietly believing and trusting God with all your heart. God is here. He loves you and he's for you. Would you say in your heart, if you're not a believer, say, Jesus, help me, save me, and he will. Jesus, help me and save me, and he will answer you. Walk by faith in him. God will answer your prayers and help you. Father, we live in a troubled time, troubled city, but we are also so thankful for our freedoms, thankful that we can share, thankful that we're not afraid, thankful for your kingdom on the earth, thankful for taking care of us. Bless us as we go home today and lead us, God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.